You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
God poured out His Holy Spirit on the church so that He will be glorified among the nations. Learn more about this message in week 2 of our series, Make Room.
Good afternoon, church. Can you just greet the person beside you? Give them a warm handshake or a gentle fist bump. Today is our second installment of our series, Make Room. And last week, we talked about the person and the works of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit is God and the Holy Spirit Himself is God and is present with us and within us. And there's so much power that is available for us through the Holy Spirit that is in us. And today, we're going to talk about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, there's two things that we have to understand about the Holy Spirit. First is the indwelling. The moment that we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit has dwelled in us. Now, there's another word that is used commonly when we talk about the Holy Spirit, and that is the word infilling. And that is what we're going to talk about today. We will be continuously filled with the power of the Holy Spirit for us to be able to live life worthy of Christ. Now, let us read Acts chapter 2, verse 17 to 18. It says here, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." In verse 18, it says here, "Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." Now, Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18 is a direct quotation of what's written in the book of Prophet Joel in chapter 2. The Prophet Joel there prophesied of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And it was directly quoted by the Apostle Peter during the day of Pentecost. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, we can see here that somehow it's an exact quotation that was made by Peter. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, it says here, "And it shall come to pass after that, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my Spirit." So what happened during the Pentecost was a fulfillment of this promise. That during the time of Pentecost, the promise has been fulfilled. What picture does this give us is that no matter how long the promise of God will take in our lives, God will bring it into completion. God will bring it into completion because He is a faithful God. And whenever He fulfills a promise, His name is glorified. And His name is glorified not just in your life, but He is glorified in the lives of the people that surrounds you as well. If you look at the day of Pentecost, when He fulfilled this promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit, He was glorified not just by the Galileans or the disciples of that day or the people in Jerusalem, but His name was glorified in every nation. So that gives us a picture that God delights in fulfilling His promises in our lives. And that gives us hope that whenever promises that God has spoken to you right now, God will bring it to completion. Just have to be patient and eager in waiting for that promise to be completed. Now, what really happened on the day of Pentecost? Let's go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 18. Verse 1, it says here, "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all gathered together in one place." This is talking about the disciples together with hundreds more of disciples. There were commentaries that about 120 believers were gathered in the upper room. They say that this was a room within the temple wherein the Pentecost was celebrated. And the day of Pentecost was a Jewish feast held 50 days after Passover. And this was a time to celebrate the first fruits of the wheat harvest. There's a lot of feasts going on in those days in Jerusalem. And one of those feasts is the Feast of Pentecost. And at Pentecost, the first fruits of the wheat harvest were given to God. Therefore, Pentecost is also called the Day of First Fruits. That's written in the book of Numbers. And also, the Jewish tradition thought that Pentecost commemorated the day when the law was given to Israel. Meaning to say, the law that was given to Moses or given to the whole tribe of Israel. So the Jews sometimes calls the day of Pentecost as the joy of the law. Now in the Old Testament, the Israelites received the law as a written law on tablets. But in the New Covenant, the people during the Pentecost, the church received the Spirit of grace in full through the Holy Spirit. You see the difference? In the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, the people received the law through a physical thing. It was written on a tablet that they can see, that they can read. Now God elevated how He would reveal Himself through the law to His people. He didn't just write it on tablets or in scrolls, but He placed them on each and every believer's heart through the Holy Spirit. God has made the law available through the Holy Spirit in the individual lives of the believers. Acts chapter 2, verse 2, it says there, "And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting." Now, mighty rushing wind filled the entire house. This is the picture of the Holy Spirit filling the believers and the entire house. It was a picture of God Himself going down from heaven to this tiny room in that temple. If we could remember that we've discussed last week that the Hebrew and Greek word for spirit is the word pneuma, which translates to wind or breath. So it gives us a picture that this is the Holy Spirit coming down from heaven to each and every believer in that room. And it was manifested by mighty rushing wind that came to the room and filled the entire room. In verse 3, it says there, "And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them." Now let's take a look at the word fire. Fire is the symbol of God's presence. If you look at the Old Testament accounts, we would see there that when they went out of Egypt, it was the fire of God that protected them, covered them from the Egyptians before they crossed the Dead Sea. Fire there is a symbol of God's presence. But more than just a symbol of God's presence, we could also see in the Old Testament that there are instances wherein God showed His pleasure and delight in sacrifices when He Himself kindled the fire for the burnt offerings. It was God Himself who burned the offerings for Himself. When Abraham made that covenant with God, it was God, the fire of God, that went in the middle of the burnt offerings to seal their covenant with Abraham. So fire there is the presence and the power of God. Now another thing about fire is that fire from heaven came down and consumed the sacrifice. Now in Hebrews chapter 12, it says there that our God is a consuming fire. And every time fire touches something, it doesn't remain the same. If nakabantay mo og wood na gisunog, that wood will never go back to its original state. Same with these people right here. When the Holy Spirit touched them through the fire of God, their lives were never the same. We can see later in the following verses how their lives were changed, especially the life of Peter. The experience of the followers of Jesus on Pentecost is another example of God sending fire from heaven to show His pleasure and power. But this time, it's not on sacrifices, dead sacrifices. This time, God sent His fire on living sacrifices. The believers themselves became the living sacrifices, the temple in which God Himself would dwell. If you're familiar with Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says there that the Apostle Paul admonished us to live a life worthy to be temples of the Holy Spirit when he said, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, in which this is your spiritual worship." Every believer is a living sacrifice. Every believer is called to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came to the believers, they became the temple of God. That instead of God living in a cube, in a box, God dwelt in the lives of the individual believers. In verse 3, it says there, and rested on each one of them. Under the old covenant, the Holy Spirit rested on God's people more as a nation, specifically Israel. But right now, in the new covenant, God rested on each one of them, meaning to say, in each and every believer. Not just those believers on Pentecost, but the believers of this day as well. That means to say that each one of you, you and me, are temples of the Holy Spirit. That the moment we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we became the temples of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit will dwell in us. That we have become the living sacrifices. Fire also equates purification. This is something that is exciting because purification takes a process. It takes a process to purify someone. Same with purifying gold. Before gold will become 100% gold, if there's such a thing as 100% gold, it needs to go through a process of purification. And purification entails the use of fire through the process. And in one of the commentaries, it says there that the filling of the Holy Spirit is not just for abstract power, but for purity. Now, God called us to be pure, holy, and blameless before Him because we have become the temples of the Holy Spirit. And who among you could honestly say that even as a believer, no matter how old of a believer you are, of a Christian you are, we still got issues. We have issues. Kisa dere walay issues. Walay issues pareha ni Kevin. We all have issues. And God deals with our issues through a process. God wants us to go through a process of purification. God will not purify us in an instant na pag receive nimo kang Christ, 100% perfect na kadayon. You have been purified immediately. God uses process. And through that process, we will be purified. And the process also entails that, isay napaso na ninyo kalayo o fire. Sakit, di ba? In that process as well, the process of purification, also the process of pruning in our life, it also entails that we will experience pain and suffering throughout the process. And that pain is something that is essential so that we will become pruned, so that we will become perfect in the eyes of God. So that later on, we will become the reflection, the image of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world to people. We've got issues and God will deal with our issues individually. It is also a fulfillment of yet another prophecy. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the believers is also the fulfillment of the prophecy made by John the Baptist, the cousin of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he said in Matthew chapter 31, he said, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Another prophecy fulfilled. Acts chapter 2 verse 4, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now, if you would look at it, there's the mighty rushing wind that filled the entire place of tongues of fire came down from heaven and indwelt in the believers. Now, those things are manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Those are not the gifts itself, but the true gift is the Holy Spirit Himself. The infilling of the Holy Spirit will produce manifestations as He will fill us. There will be manifestation of prophecy, tongues, discernment, miracles, healings. All of those things are just manifestations of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Those are not the gifts per se, but the gift is the Holy Spirit Himself. The disciples were filled in fulfillment of a promise. Now, the gift is not just for those present during Pentecost. The gift is also for us today. We can take hold or we can tap on the power that is available through the Holy Spirit. While it would be wrong for us to expect that there will still be a rushing mighty wind that will come into this place, a tongue of fire will came down from heaven and fill us. But that doesn't mean that we cannot have the Holy Spirit today. If you look at it, The believers were gathered in just one simple room, but yet the Holy Spirit filled them. It's kind of like what we see here this afternoon. The Holy Spirit can be made available in this time because the Holy Spirit is a fulfillment of a promise, not something that we work for as a believer. We receive the Holy Spirit as a gift, not because of our works, not because of our goodness, but it's because God wants to fulfill His promise for each and every believer. If you truly believe the Lord Jesus Christ, if you receive Him as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is for you. And the Holy Spirit will be with you and in you. Another thing, they were filled as they received in faith. We can receive the Holy Spirit in faith. Same as we receive the gift of salvation, the Holy Spirit can be received by faith as well, together with giftings and manifestations. They were filled in God's timing. It was so amazing that God waited for the day of Pentecost for the Holy Spirit to come to this earth or to indwell and fill the believers. It goes to show that God also has a perfect timing for us to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts and the Holy Spirit Himself. They were filled as they were together in unity. Kind of like this one. We are gathered here this afternoon so the Holy Spirit can also move in this place as we are gathered. They were filled in unusual ways. It was unusual during their time to be able to experience a mighty gushing wind. Tongues of fire came down from heaven. It was unusual. It broke the norms of the time. And even today, the Holy Spirit can still break the norms of what we have in the society. They were filled in unusual ways, and they were filled to be empowered. Now, this is very important. The disciples were not just filled for them to feel good about themselves or to be empowered to do what they want to do, but they were empowered, they were filled to empower because they have a mission. They have been given a mission. They were commissioned to go out there and preach the gospel and show the world the goodness and faithfulness of God, how great our God is. There was a mission. The Holy Spirit is with us and in us for us to be able to fulfill the mission that He has for each and every one of us. To go out there and make disciples. It says there that they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So in response to the filling of the Holy Spirit, they experienced several manifestations. Some prophesying, but most of them, in fact, all of them spoke in other tongues. When we talk about these tongues, these are not language that they learned. It says here that the Spirit gave them utterance. It's important for us to note that it didn't say here na the Holy Spirit spoke through them. But instead, it said the Spirit gave them utterance. It means to say that the Holy Spirit, though they were able to speak in the language that is unknown to them, they were in full control of themselves. The Holy Spirit did not possess them. The Holy Spirit did not control them. The Holy Spirit gave them tongues for them to control. They had full control over themselves, though they were able to speak in a language that was different from theirs. Notice also that the followers of Jesus were together in one place when that happened. They were gathered together, sharing the same heart, the same love for God, the same trust in His promise, and the same geography. That means to say, it was a local church when the Holy Spirit filled the believers. It gives us a picture that even in our local church, the Holy Spirit can move. Even this afternoon, the Holy Spirit can move and fill each and every one of us. The Holy Spirit can do His mighty works when believers are gathered with one heart, one worship, one focus, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also have to take note that it's important for us to know that before we can be filled, we must recognize our emptiness. We have to recognize our emptiness. By gathering together for prayer in obedience, these disciples were doing just that. They recognized that they were empty, that they were nothing without each other, that they were nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. And they recognized they did not have the resources in themselves to do what they were called or should do. They had to rely on the work of God. It gives us a picture that we ourselves, we have to empty ourselves so that God can fill us. Imagine a glass of water. We cannot fill something that is already filled. For us to be filled, we have to empty ourselves with our own selfishness, with our own pride, something that is not of God. We have to empty ourselves with the me, I, and allow God to work in us. We have to empty ourselves with our own pride and selfishness and recognize that we are nothing without the work of God in our life. We have to empty ourselves so that God can fill us. In Acts chapter 2, verse 5, now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Now, while all of these things are happening in one room, in one place, they had an audience. When the Holy Spirit came on them, the people that was surrounding the room, because it was Pentecost, there was plenty of people that were gathered together to make their sacrifices. Those people heard what happened in this small room in the temple. And they gathered there. Murabaog, naikasikas, so gitapukan. It's something like that that happened during that time. So all these people, devout men from every nation under heaven, gathered together in search for what happened inside that room. And we have to take note that these are devout men. These are religious people of that day. And we have to also note that majority of these devout men are the same people who came to the Passover and shouted to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. Who shouted, crucify Him. These are the very people that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were gathered with the disciples. They were searching what is happening inside this particular room. In verse 6, it says, and at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. In verse 7, they were astonished and amazed, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? The reason why they were amazed is because Galileans were uncultured and poor speakers. In one commentary, he said, according to commentary, Galileans had difficulty pronouncing gutturals and had the habit of swallowing syllables when speaking. So they were looked down upon by the people of Jerusalem as they were provincial, provinciano. So they were looked down by people because they were not good speakers. But they were amazed because they were hearing these people, these Galileans, speaking in their own language. In the language that they themselves know that the Galileans doesn't know how to speak or utter. So they were amazed. And in verse 9 and to 11, it says there that those people who were gathered were Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and the visitors from Rome. Both the Jews, the proselytes and Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. Amazing. What happened during that time was a reversal of what happened during the time of the Tower of Babel. In the time of the Tower of Babel, they had one language. They had a language that came from God. It was a divine language coming from God. It was sacred before God. But because of the sinfulness of man, God confused their language so that they will not be able to understand each other. Now, having that one language was a great blessing for the people. They were able to accomplish such great and mighty works and mighty exploits because they understand each other. They were able to put up the Tower of Babel because they had that one language of understanding. They understood each other, and that is one great power of communication. Now, in our days, it's so difficult to travel in other places because of that language barrier. When you go to Pakistan in Middle East, they have different language. We don't understand their language. In China, they are Chinese. We don't understand their language. And it's so difficult for us to go there because of that language barrier. even here in the Philippines, we had several dialects, and that makes it difficult for us to live in a particular place without learning that dialect. And that is such a picture of how powerful communication, having one language, is. And they were so blessed to have that one language. But because of their sinfulness, God confused them. And during this time, God reversed what happened in the time of the Tower of Babel. That during this time, God is using that same language to unite each other, to unite the fellow believers. Now, this is such a wonderful circumstance in which the Holy Spirit begins His ministry of restoring sinful man to God and to fellow men through tongues, through the use of tongues. In the old days before the tower, all were speaking one language, a language that is of God Himself. It was a language sacred to God, a divine language. And it was such a great blessing to man that through it, they were able to accomplish great and mighty exploits. In verse 11, it says, both Jews and proselytes and Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. It gives us a picture that from the very beginning, God's plan of redemption was global. That He will not leave a corner of this earth that His hand will not be able to touch. He will touch every nation, every person in this world, because from the very beginning, He gave us a picture that His plan was to reach out each and every person of this world. Every nation, every tribe, they would come to know the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone will be given that opportunity to be able to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior through the power of the Holy Spirit. In verse 12, it says there, and all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? In verse 13, but others mocking said, they are filled with new wine. Now, with the Holy Spirit indwelling in us, it is not without opposition. There will always be people who would be in doubt. There will always be skeptics about whether this is true or not. And as a believer who believes that the Holy Spirit is in us, we shouldn't be surprised that we will experience opposition when we tap on the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit. In fact, we should be alarmed if we are not experiencing opposition and persecution in our life. If we say we are a believer moved by the power of the Holy Spirit and there is no opposition, it could be that we are not moving in the grace and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit in our life. Because when the Holy Spirit moves in our lives, there will always be an opposition. In fact, as a believer, we should celebrate for opposition and persecution in our life. Because all the more we will see that the grace of God is at work in us. That because it was a promise, Jesus Christ Himself said that the world hates Him. And if the world hates Him, the world will also hate those who believe and follow His footsteps. As a Christian, we should embrace persecution and opposition in our life, especially when we tap on the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 14 to 15, but Peter, standing with the 11, filled up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let us be known to you and give you ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. And it's a good thing for us to note that the one who stood up was Peter. The one who stood up in defense of everyone was Peter. Because few weeks ago, Peter denied Jesus Christ 3 times. And now, he is standing in front of the multitude of people who themselves shouted, crucify Christ. And right now, he is so bold and courageous to face all of these people, saying, these people are not drunk, but we have been filled by the Holy Spirit. And it's just so amazing that it was Peter who stood up. It could be Thomas, it could be Thaddeus, it could be someone else other than Peter. But it was Peter who stood up for everybody. It gives us a picture of how powerful the Holy Spirit, how powerful we could be with the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Verse 14, what does this whole thing that happened on the day of Pentecost mean? This means that God poured out His Spirit upon the church so that He will be glorified among the nations. The multitude of people that was represented there represents the vision that God has for His people, His believers, His followers, that they themselves will be able to reach out different nations in the world through the Holy Spirit. That His glory will be displayed all throughout the world because of the Holy Spirit that is now indwelling the believers. It is also amazing to note that when they started speaking in tongues, the Spirit did not preach the gospel. The Spirit just proclaimed and declared how mighty, how powerful, how good God is. The Spirit just declared the goodness and the wonders of God, the mighty works of God. Now, the manifestations of the gift of the Holy Spirit paved the way for the preaching of the gospel. Because they heard that sound, they heard the people speaking in tongues, speaking in a language that they have, it opened up the way for the gospel to be preached. Now it was Peter's time to preach a powerful sermon that will cut the hearts of each and everyone. And 1,000, in fact, 3,000 was mentioned in the Bible that gave their lives in the Lord Jesus Christ because of that instance. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Every spiritual gift was designed by God to pave the way for the gospel. Healing, prophecy, miracles, discernment, whatever gifts that the Holy Spirit has bestowed in a believer, it will always be used for the advancement of the gospel. The Holy Spirit makes the gifts available for us so that we can fulfill our mission, and that is to go out there and make disciples of all nations. In verse 16, but this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit, and all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. What happened on that day was a fulfillment, and it didn't just happen on that day. It is still happening and will happen to us today. Though we cannot experience the mighty rushing wind, but we will still experience the Holy Spirit. We will still receive the Holy Spirit even to this present generation. In the early 1906, when the believers gathered in an old building of the Assemblies of God, there were just fire trucks just rushed to that building because they received reports that there was a fire that was coming out of that building. But when those fire trucks came, there was no physical fire. It was the fire of the Holy Spirit resting on each of the believers during that time. And many other similar things that happened during that time happened. In the 1960s, the same thing happened. A fire was noticed in one particular building, but when authorities came, there was no fire. It was the Holy Spirit resting on the believers. The Holy Spirit and gifts are present and are available for us today. It is on our hands. All we have to do is to ask, to believe in faith that we will receive the gifts and we will have the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Now, to us, these events would mean that, number one, we will be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is a given fact that believers will be filled with the Holy Spirit because it is a promise. It is a promise that God Himself will fulfill. Acts chapter 4, verse 31, it says there, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. The Holy Spirit will continue His works in our present generation. The question there is, will we allow ourselves to be available for the Holy Spirit? Will we stand in a place wherein we will be ready to be used by the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit can fill us, even to this day. Mark chapter 5, verse 19, And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." The Holy Spirit will declare the mighty works of God in our lives and through our lives. When this man was healed, he declared the wonderful work of healing done by the Lord Jesus Christ, not just to his family members, not just to his friends, but he went out in the Nicopolis, in the marketplace, to declare how much the Lord has done for him. Just by one testimony, many believe in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the same power that is in your testimony today. Your testimony, whether you think your testimony is just so gamay lang, dili kayo ingon na kadako og impact, but when you allow the Holy Spirit to use your testimony, it will be so great that even thousands will receive the Lord Jesus Christ because of that one simple tiny testimony of yours. God also will use the trials and testings in our lives. That what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn it into good for us and for His name. The testings and trials that we are in, God will use it for our good and for the good of His name. So that His name will be glorified throughout the nations. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 8, it says, "When He ascended on high, He led a host of captives and He gave gifts to men." The Holy Spirit will also give us, and we can receive the gifts to enable us to minister to people. We can become ministers. We can become the catalyst of change and transformation in the lives of other people because of the Holy Spirit that will enable us to do so. Going back to Peter, the man who denied Jesus 3 times, and yet, days after, just 50 days after, what an amazing transformation that happened to Peter. I do believe that when they were gathered in that room for prayer, it was still the same Peter that denied the Lord Jesus Christ. But because the Holy Spirit rested on Peter, something happened in Peter that before he was a coward, now he was just so bold and courageous. That even facing those who yelled at the Lord Jesus Christ to be crucified, he faced them with boldness, preaching such a powerful sermon that cut them to the heart. The Holy Spirit will enable us to do the work that God has called us to do if we just allow the Holy Spirit. The different giftings are not meant for us to serve our own purpose, but to serve God's purpose and the whole body of Christ in this world. Yes, we can enjoy the Holy Spirit. We can enjoy the gifts for ourselves. But ultimately, we have to fulfill its purpose. And that is to fulfill every commandment that God has given us. Each one of us has been given those gifts. We just have to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. And by saying that, it is important for us to understand that how we are living our lives will impact how the Holy Spirit will move in us as well. If we are living lives that is holy and pleasing to God, then the Holy Spirit can just work in us without hindrance. But if we are living a double life, that we are so Christian on a Sunday, yet not so Christian on weekdays, it will impact how the Holy Spirit will move in our life. If we are also continually feeding ourselves with the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will be so evident in our life. But if we don't feed ourselves with the Word of God each and every day, we will be numb to the Holy Spirit. We will be insensitive to the work of the Holy Spirit in our personal lives. We will not develop the convictions that the Holy Spirit will give us. We will not sense the nudge of the Holy Spirit when He said, "Hey, you're doing something that is not pleasing to God." If we do not feed ourselves with God's Word, the Holy Spirit will not be able to move freely in us as well. Just take a look at the life of Peter. God turned around Peter from being someone who denied Jesus to someone who declares the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God can do the same thing as well in our lives today. God can transform our lives. If you think about your life today that has no hope, just think about what is the power that is available in you today. Think about the power that is available in you today. The Holy Spirit is working in us and through us and will enable us to accomplish great and mighty exploits for God that will glorify and honor His name. Matthew chapter 28 verse 19 to 20, it says there, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And this is a promise from God Himself that He will be with us. We will not experience the Holy Spirit just by sitting here comfortable. We will experience the power and the greatness of God in our lives when we go out there. When we step out in faith and do what He has commanded us to do, we will experience the nearness of God in our lives. It is a promise when He said, "I will be with you. I am with you always to the end of the age." As we fulfill His commandments through the help of the Holy Spirit, we will experience the nearness of God in our lives. Some of us, we might be thinking, "Lord, I've been a believer for so many years, Lord, but yet, why is my season so dry? Why do I not feel your presence in my life? I have this problem in my life today, in my family, in my workplace. But Lord, why can't I see you moving in my situation? Why can't I see you moving? Why can't I see you doing something to alleviate the suffering and pain that I'm feeling and experiencing?" It might be because we are not going out there and fulfilling His purpose for us. We might be just so comfortable today where we are that even though we understand that there's a calling for us, we set it aside na, okay na ko dire. I'm fine with where am I today. I'm comfortable. But that's not what God called us to do. God called us to step out there, be uncomfortable, and experience the power of the Holy Spirit that is in you. And allow the people to receive the Lord Jesus Christ because of His presence that is in you. If you want to experience God more in your life, yield to the Holy Spirit and allow Jesus to be the Lord over your life. Get out of your comfort zone. Step out in faith. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be equipped with the gifts and see how God will transform your life. Some of us today might be a Christian for the longest time today, and yet we haven't tapped on the power of the Holy Spirit. We are missing so much in our life. There's so much grace, there's so much blessing that God has prepared for us if we only step out of our comfort zones. If we only choose to be uncomfortable, to do what He has called us to do. God doesn't expect us to understand everything that He has called us to do, every commandment that He has for us. And God even doesn't expect us to understand the things that we are going through right now in our lives. The pain, the suffering, the problems, the trials. God doesn't expect us to understand all of those things. But God wants us to just step out there, do what He has called us to do, and He will move on our behalf. God has sent us the Helper so that we will be able to accomplish all of these tasks. The question here is, do we want to make ourselves available? Or are we available? Sitting right there, when you reflect on your life, are you in a place of comfort? Or are you in a place wherein there's so much discomfort that you are kneeling before God and asking God, na, Lord, fill me. Lord, I want to see you. I hope and pray that we will be a church that will always cling on to the power of the Holy Spirit, because it's so available for us. The reason why we are not experiencing those breakthroughs that we have been praying for, it's not because God is not moving. It's because we are not out there. We are not present in the place where God has appointed for us to receive that breakthrough. Church, let us be out there. Let us put ourselves in a place wherein we will be able to receive God's grace for each and every one of us.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorytumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.